Well, praise the Lord, everyone. We're Angelo and Carrie with the broadcast Make Straight the Way of the Lord. Be with us for the next half hour. We're going to be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We're going to be talking about the sayings of the world, sayings of the apostate churches. And what does God have to say about that? What is God's sayings? Praise the Lord. Stick with us.
From all sin, it's a Holy Ghost.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God we're here this afternoon. We are Make Straight the Way of the Lord. As it says in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 23, John the Baptist says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And which coincides with the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Amen. That's chapter 40. You know, that's what our plan in our life is. We want to make straight the way of God. And this afternoon broadcast, we're going to be talking about the sayings of the world, things that we even said before we were saved, and what we still hear people say them today, and how they are the opposite of what God has to say. My wife Carrie's here this afternoon. We have many things to talk about, so let's start right now.
Well, let's start with the first one. We have a whole list of them, and there's probably a lot more, because we forget. But the first one we have is people say they're too busy. They're working too hard. They're too busy. They got all kinds of excuses.
Amen. You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I sort of going to have to pray for him, because he was just like you're saying, he's just too busy for the things of God. He did not radiate any interest or to even want to be inquire about the things of God. He wasn't interested in the feasts of the Lord. He wasn't interested in knowing any new things in God. And the Bible says we're supposed to grow, and we're supposed to be encouraged in the Lord, and we're supposed to seek the Lord, and, you know, have that daily food and the daily bread.
Amen. Read ye out of the book of the Lord. None of these shall fail, right?
Amen. You know something a lot of people don't understand, but the Word of God just wasn't written by some intellects out in that time. They were people that were of the Lord. They were of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself picked them. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's very important to remember. This is not some intellect book. This is a spiritual book. The Bible is the mind of Christ.
Amen. And so next time, when you're saying to yourself or giving an excuse that you're just too busy, you got too much work to do, the kids and all that, remember this. You know what? It's time to stop making excuses, because we all know that if there's a priority in your life, you will find time to do it. So stop making excuses. Read from the book of the Lord and find out about God.
You know, that's something that's very important. You know, we can never tell God that we did not have his word. His word is very available. You can pick up a copy of the Holy Bible, the King James Version, anywhere. So we really don't have an excuse. Just because you never read the Bible, that doesn't give anyone an excuse. The word of God is here. It's very available. You know something, a lot of people, like Carrie, my wife, is saying, they are lethargic. They're this apathy, you know, lack of feeling. They just don't have the interest in knowing the things of God.
Amen. Now, Angela, should we go on to number two on our list? Okay, number two on our list is, you hear this all the time. You say, oh, that's okay. Nobody's perfect. Everybody sins. You know, just do your best.
Yeah, well, I disagree with that. Of course, I said that in the past before I was a believer. Yes, but there's people right in the Bible that were perfect. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Praise the Lord. You know, it also talks about another man. His name is Job. Chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And that's what we have to do. We have to have the fear of the Lord. That makes us depart from evil.
Amen. But Angela, what about when you tell somebody that you don't try to sin willingly? You know, it's bad to sin and you don't try. And what do they say to you? They say that you're puffed up or you have spiritual pride?
Yes, they don't understand that God says that He's given us commandments, but his commandments are not grievous. You know, it does say in the Bible, many places, Jesus says, "Be thou perfect, for my Father which is in heaven is perfect." And it also says that in the book of Deuteronomy, it says to be perfect. So it is, has nothing to do with spiritual pride and has nothing to do with being puffed up. It has something to do with the fear of the Lord. It makes you depart from evil. The fear of the Lord makes you a man's face to shine. You know, I just thank God that we have the Word of God and we love the Word of God. We delight in the commandments and the precepts of God.
We know that you are saved by grace. We don't think you're saved by works. We're saying you shouldn't sin after you're saved because you are saved by grace. Paul said something about sin that grace may abound. God forbid.
Yeah, there's a common word mix-up in the Christianity world, this thing about being saved. Yes, there's nothing we can do to earn salvation. We are saved by the grace and the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I just thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But after you're saved, the Bible says, pick up the cross and follow me, Jesus says. We have to start doing the works of Christ because we're going to be judged according to our works. So you have to rightly divide the Word of God. You can't take it out of context. And I just thank God that we have the Word of God to read into.
Amen. Paul also says in chapter 6 of Romans, he says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, but henceforth we should not serve sin."
Amen. You know, I looked up that word perfect in the Bible, and I believe it was something like 128 times. You know, so it is possible to be perfect. Perfect just means that you're going to keep the commandments of God. You're going to keep the ordinances of God, and the commandments are not grievous.
This is one of my favorite reading. It's of Daniel in chapter 6. Remember when Belshazzar, who was Nebuchadnezzar's son, they had taken out all the gold goblets and everything out of the temple, and him and his wives and all kinds of people. They were drinking wine out of them and praising the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, and all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, Belshazzar looked over and he saw a hand writing something on the wall, and he asked, and he found out who could read it. Well, Daniel could read it. And the interpretation was this. It said, "God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." In other words, he was found lacking. And, you know, that's one thing that we never want to be found is lacking with God.
Amen. Matter of fact, we want to be rich in good works, the Bible says. We want to go out of our way like the Apostle Paul did. You know, it's just an amazing thing that a lot of people we talk to today, they're not interested in doing anything for God. They do their 1 hour on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, and they don't do anything after that. They don't even have a day of rest.
Amen. Oh, gosh. And we could go on about this forever, but because, you know, we're very tough on this. Maybe people think we're too tough, but we don't believe that you can ever sin willingly after having knowledge of the truth. And that's scriptural. So the next thing on the list is lying. You know, the devil's always going to get you on something. He's not going to get you on killing and stuff like that. But you know what he can get you is on the lie. But yet we're telling our people that it's healthy. We're telling our kids it's healthy for children to lie. You know, this is just it's a white lie, they say.
Well, yeah, that's really a shame. You know, I actually heard a psychiatrist, I believe, on TV telling her audience that it was healthy for children to lie for their cognitive rearing up, which mm-hmm. I thought was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, lying, I know everyone may not think it's such a big deal, lying, because everybody lies according to what the world says. But the Bible says, it says in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 44, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar, and the father of it. Satan is the father of all lies. The Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." We're not supposed to add to the Word of God or diminish from it. It says that in Deuteronomy, and it says it also in Revelations. Otherwise, you'll get the plagues, or you'll get your name taken out of the Book of Life, the Word of God says. You know, it says right here, it says in Revelations 21, the reason why you don't want to lie And the reason why lying is very serious, it says in Revelations 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You know, there's no such thing as a Christian liar. There's no such thing as a Christian drunkard or a Christian adulterer. There's no such thing.
Wait a minute, Angela. I talked to some people who go to this church, and they told me this. Remember in 1 Corinthians when Paul said, "No adulterer, be not deceived, no adulterer, no idolater, no fornicator, no effeminate, and on will not enter the kingdom of heaven." But, you know, in their ideas, you know, although Paul was speaking to Christians, he was speaking to a Christian church at this time, he told them, do not be deceived. It said, no fornicator, no liar, etc. But they told me they thought that meant, well, as long as you don't make it a habit.
Oh.
Whew.
Well, that's really amazing how the world just tries to water down the gospel. Satan is constantly out there trying to make light of the commandments of God. God is a holy God, and he says he demands a holy people. You know, there's a big difference between being nice and being holy. So we always want to make sure we caution everyone to, you know, examine your own selves, prove your own selves if you're in the body. Make sure your minister or your church is preaching the right word of God. It's very important to prove all things, and it's very important to study to show yourselves approved. You know, a lot of people don't think it's a big deal to know about the pagan holidays. Well, we think it is a big deal, because there's actually in the Bible the feasts of the Lord that we honor. And they're feasts of the Lord. It says that word for word. And we don't honor the pagan holidays that the world celebrates. And a lot of people that serve the Lord, they have knowledge of this, and they want to know the truth, because the truth is what sets you free, the Bible says.
Amen. Because, you know, there's always a difference between, let's just talk about Easter. You know, Easter was around before Jesus Christ, and it was always a pagan holiday. They just tried to make it into a Christian holiday, kind of like when Aaron tried to make the molten calf into a feast of the Lord, and look what happened. God was not pleased.
Amen.
Easter and the Passover and the actual resurrection are never on the same day. We know what day the Passover is on. It's always on Nisan 14. But Easter has always been
after the vernal equinox,
right up to the first day of spring. Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon. Now, that doesn't sound like anything from out of the Bible, does it?
Oh, no. You know, Easter was the, actually, Astarte, the goddess of fertility. It was symbolized by eggs, celebrating the first Sunday after the first full moon. You're right, after the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, a lot of people don't even know that. It has nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. Has nothing to do with Christ himself.
Amen. And although the actual day is in the Bible, they didn't choose that. They chose the pagan day, not the Christian day, not the actual Passover day. And then from that, of course, we know what day the resurrection is. It's very sad, and you can't try to make a pagan holiday a feast unto the Lord and think that you're fooling God, because you're not. God knows what it is.
Amen. You know, just like, you know, the world celebrates Christmas. They think it's no big deal. Everyone just goes along with the program. There's no such thing in the New Testament. It doesn't say to praise any day. And actually, Christmas is, I'll have my wife read it to you. Just a simple little thing.
Well, Christmas was called Christmas, was celebrated as the birth of Mithra every December 25th, the sun god, who was widely worshipped in Rome during the early Christian era, in whose religion appears to be used in place of Christianity. Because what they were doing is, remember that the 21st is the shortest day of the year. You know that, right? And so, because he was a sun god, what they were doing is they were worshiping, hoping that the days would get longer again, because they were worried the sun wasn't going to come back.
Amen. And I want to just make sure you, everyone out there in radio land, understands this is not our opinion. You could easily go look this information up on the internet, at your local library. Look these things up and make sure you know what you believe. Don't go along with this church doctrines or people that have titles from theological seminaries. And I actually talked to a theological seminary today. I'm not going to mention the name. And they believe in every Bible. They think every religion is good. And according to the Word of God, there's only one holy Bible. And according to the Word of God, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved.
Amen. And then, let's talk about some other little things that we hear. Because you're right, the Bible is our final authority. So, where does astrologers and psychics have their... Where do they come in the picture? White witches. They're witches, they're white witches. That makes them somehow good.
Well, I tell you what, that's really another one that's amazing. You know, in the Old Testament, the Tanakh, it says in Exodus 22:18, of course, back in that time, it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. God was very serious back in the Old Testament there. Deuteronomy, it talks about witches. 1 Samuel talks about witchcraft, and as stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. And, you know, this whole connotation of good witches or white lies, that's not true. A lie is a lie. No liar is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. A person that worships seers or the psychic network, that's not of God. The Bible says that's an abomination. So we need to read the Word of God and find out what God has to say about these matters.
Amen. So next time you're in the paper and you see the astrology section or the numbers thing, or you see the ad for the psychic network, know that, you know what, it's just an abomination unto God. It's something that you shouldn't be doing. It's a sin to God. And like Angela was saying, back in the Old Testament, there was the ordinances and there was the judgments. And at that time, you know, before Jesus Christ is our judge now, a lot of sins were unto death at that time. And of course, now we know with Jesus Christ as a judge, we don't do that anymore, and no one should. But they still need to repent.
Yes.
You know, anybody who's being a psychic, anybody who's trying to tell people that they can see into the future, you know, you just need to repent. You need to read, you need to seek out the Bible and what God has to say about that, because you know what? I don't think anybody wants to sin against the Almighty God if they know differently.
And amen. That's why we bring up this information. It's for your benefit. It's for your soul's benefit. We want people to research this information on their own and to look into these things, because eternity is a long time to make a mistake. You know, I just thank God when someone told me, and God gave me the zeal and the interest to look these things up, because my soul is at stake. I want to know the truth. I don't just want to go along with the multitude. The Bible says not to follow a multitude to do evil. So I want to do what the Lord says. He said, seek ye out of the book of the law and read and study to show yourself approved. You know, the Bible says that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we have to watch out for that. Speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So you got to watch out for these things, because the last days we are living in, and Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again.
Amen. And along with that, what we're seeing is that you go on any website, you go to any church, you go to radio shows, you go to TV shows, guess what? Everybody's selling their books, telling you what the Bible says in their opinion. You know, they suggest read this book to solve your problem. Read this book to answer your questions. And we're telling you, you know what? You need to read out of the book of the Lord.
Amen. That's what we do. We push everyone towards the Bible. We want everyone to read the Bible, not just books of people. Everyone's got a book. Everyone's got a philosophy. Everyone's got an opinion. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says, and further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there's no end. Making many books, there's no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. It's the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. You know, we want to know why? It says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. With every secret thing, the things you think you're sneaking around with, whether they be good or whether it be evil. And it's not funny. God doesn't miss a trick. He sees us everywhere we go. And I just thank God that he's a living God, and I just don't want to miss out on the kingdom of heaven.
But Angelo, people out there, as you know, are saying, but you can't keep the commandments. You just said that you have to keep the commandments.
That's right. You know, the Bible expressly and explicitly, you know, has given us the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments could easily be found in Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5. And maybe we should read the Ten Commandments this afternoon.
I think that's a good idea because it's coming to our attention so much these days, because when people say to me, you can't keep the commandments, I always ask them, which ones are you having trouble with?
That's right. Which commandments are you having trouble with? You know, it says, I'll just read them briefly here. It says in chapter 20 of the book of Exodus, it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the God of thy father, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. That's right. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's commandment one. You're not supposed to have any gods before God. Commandment two says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Okay, commandment three says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And, you know, I'm sure everyone hears people swearing all day long and taking the God's name in vain. Well, it's a commandment of God. Three, you better not do that. It's not to be taken lightly. Commandment four is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy menservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he's saying that his minister said, well, the Sabbath day, that was a Jewish thing. And you want to know something? Right in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, it says that God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. That was before there were Jews, before there was an Israel, before there were Israelites. So that commandment, that's why he says right here, remember the Sabbath day. Okay, commandment 5, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. Commandment number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Commandment 8, thou shalt not steal. Commandment 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And commandment 10, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And that's the Ten Commandments. They're right there in chapter 20. We did not write those, but God did. God actually wrote them in the book of Deuteronomy with his finger, he said. And he engraved it on the two tablets of stone. And I thank God for the Ten Commandments. They are still in effect. And we want to bring up just that one commandment, the Sabbath. You know, a lot of people don't think it's a big deal, but it is a commandment of the living God. It is stated in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 56, that it is still a commandment in the New Testament. The word Sabbath appears 60 times in the New Testament, and that is still a commandment. So keep the fourth commandment as well as the rest of them, everybody.
Amen. Because, you know, a lot of people think that when Jesus came, that, you know how God says he doesn't change. He's the Lord. I do not change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And when Jesus came, he actually made him a little tougher. You know, like he made adultery a little tougher. He said, not only if even if you have lust in your heart, that's adultery.
That's right.
So he didn't make it any easier on us. He said, "We have to. Thou knowest the commandments," he said. But a lot of people today, everybody's yelling and screaming because they want to take the Ten Commandments out of the public buildings. But in reality, a lot of people say to keep the commandments, but they don't believe it in
Amen.
Their heart.
Amen. You know, it's a shame that the world has turned into such a ungodly place. But yet there are still born-again Christians here and there throughout the world. You know, I just thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for salvation, that he shed his blood, that we could be saved. You know, time never allows. There's so much to talk about.
That's right. I'd like to end with one verse here from Isaiah 59, because just what Angela says about being saved. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear."
Amen. You know, I just thank God that he puts it in our hearts to make straight the way of the Lord. We bring these things up because we love souls, and we want people to be on the right track. We all make straight the way of the Lord. Angela and Carrie, I just thank God we could be here. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you on your travels in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just to know.